You're listening to Radio Influence.
Introducing the world's heavyweight champion, the Crusher.
You're listening to Crush Performance with the Crusher, Jeff Crushell. Get in on the talent grid and text Crush at 101260 with your questions, comments, or smart-ass remarks.
All right, and welcome to Crush Performance, everybody. Jeff Crushell here, the con man behind the glass. We're your weekly source for performance information. Thanks for tuning in today. A really big show. I want to get back to this one. I've been looking forward to it because we haven't talked about it in a while, and it's our number one priority in performance across the board, regardless of what you do. Sleep. Whenever we dig in to set up a program, whether it's for an organization or for an individual, we always start with sleep. On a daily basis, we work it into the week, the monthly schedule. We look at all of the other factors that are tapping into time and energy of a particular person, and we map it all out to make sure the required amount of sleep happens in a period of time. Now, we know there's circumstances that might cut into a particular night's sleep, or there might be something that happens that prevents you from sleeping or getting regular sleep over a period of time. But what we like to do is we like to block our sleep in 7 days. We know that the average adult needs 7 to 8 hours of sleep per night. And depending on the individual and the age of the individual, we'll work that into the formula and we'll make sure that over the course of a 7 day period, we get the right amount of sleep. Now, that might include napping strategies. It might include sleeping strategies. It might include sleep stacking strategies. But we always make sure that sleep happens, because if it's not happening, trust me, nothing else can happen at an optimum level. And that's how you create world-class performance. So today, I want to dive down deep into our number one priority, that is sleep. Today on the show, we're going to talk with Dr. Charles Samuels, a Crush favorite. He's been on the show before. He is the medical director at the Center for Sleep and Human Performance in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. We're going to talk to Dr. Samuels about sleep and brain function, things like learning, memory, cognition, what happens to our brain during sleep. It's all important. And, you know, just over the last 5 to 10 years, we're really starting to get a true understanding of what happens during sleep. And a very big part of that is what happens inside of our brains when we sleep and when we don't get enough sleep. A great conversation coming up there. We're also going to talk to Dr. Samuels about strategies for better sleep. We're going to have a very serious conversation about the use of sleep aids, over-the-counter things you might use casually, or prescription drugs. Don't be casual about this. There is a huge downside to using sleep aids. As a matter of fact, Dr. Samuels and his team will say that if you're at a point where you need sleep aids, you need to see a sleep specialist. And it's true. If you're using sleep aids, there's a reason you're using it. If you're not getting quality sleep without the use of a sleep aid, there's something going on. You have to solve that problem. It's just like slapping on a Band-Aid on a cut that's never going to heal. Let's figure out what the problem is. Let's try to fix it and let's get some good quality sleep in. I'm also going to talk to him and ask him about electronics. Dr. Samuels loves this. He has a hard line when it comes to electronics, and for very good reason. Find out why later in the show. And then later, the practical side of it. What can you do to get yourself set up for a good sleep? And if you wake up in the middle of the night, this is one of my big problems. I have no problem going to sleep. I really don't. You know, I have a good nighttime ritual, a great routine, but I wake up in the middle of the night and I know when I'm going to be able to go back to sleep and when I can't. Well, what can we do? There are strategies, routines you can use to not only help yourself get ready for sleep, but if you do happen to wake up, to get back to sleep. And some of it's really powerful. We're going to talk with Crush favorite Dana Santez of Mobility Maker about some of the things she does with her pro athletes and her clients in terms of yoga, diaphragmatic breathing, and some routines you can use right now to help you get a better sleep. That's coming up later in the show. If you'd like to get in touch with us, go to our website. It's crushperformance.com. You can find our blogs, links to the world of performance. You can sign up for our newsletter, subscribe to our podcast, and get it sent to wherever you want. We're on a multitude of platforms there, free downloads, and we're there just to help you get connected and get you thinking about things, well, that we think you should be thinking about if you're a performer or if you're trying to get better at something. All right. There's a lot of great resources out there, and we're hooking you up for sure. And on social media, on Twitter, at Jeff Crush, on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Our YouTube channel turned out to be a ton of fun. Just search Crush Performance, and you can find us there for sure. Right now, we're going to cut out for a quick break. But when we come back, we're going to start our discussion on our number one priority in human performance, sleep, with Dr. Charles Samuels from the Center for Sleep and Human Performance right after this. Stick around, everyone. Crush Performance, we're your weekly source for performance information. Join me, Jeff Kershaw, and the Con Man as we dig deep into the science and research of talent development and skill acquisition to keep you on the cutting edge and to find out what it really takes to achieve human maximum performance. And go to our website, crushperformance.com, to get details on my brand new book, The Performance Plan, strategies for top performance in sport, business, coaching, and life. Our goal is to help you get better, and it starts with The Performance Plan. Get control, get focused, and get results. We're Crush Performance. Join us weekly right here on Radio Influence.
This is Crush Performance. If you have questions, comments, or smart remarks, write to us at crushperformance.com.
Welcome back to Crush Performance. Listen, if you do want to get in touch with us, go to that website. It is crushperformance.com. Get our blog and get our links. Sign up for the Crush newsletter. Subscribe to the podcast. It's all there, crushperformance.com. Today, we are talking our number one priority in human performance. It's no surprise to anybody who's listened to the show before, sleep. And quality sleep is the key. But it's not as easy as it sounds. As a matter of fact, the majority of us walking around, driving, and working are sleep deprived. How much sleep do you need? How do you get into good sleep practices? Well, we always say go to the pros. And one of the very best in the world is Dr. Charles Samuels, the medical director for the Center of Sleep and Human Performance. Dr. Samuels, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Well, we've been looking forward to talking to you. As you know, sleep in our programs, whether it's working with Major League Baseball or in professional football, hockey, it doesn't matter if it's developmental sports, sleep is the number one priority in all of our programs for performance. If you could maybe for our listeners, just maybe tell us what the Center for Sleep and Human Performance is all about, that would be great because you guys do some incredible work there.
Yeah. So I started the center after finishing my fellowship in sleep medicine with a focus on doing research in high performance individuals, but also clinical sleep medicine. So we have now after 15 years of putting this together, a full service sleep lab and sleep diagnostics program where we do ambulatory sleep testing and then in lab testing. And long-term sleep pattern testing with the special wristwatches that are of a much higher caliber than the typical sort of Fitbit devices. And we do clinical sleep medicine. We get referrals from doctors and specialists to see patients with medical disorders. And then my research is focused on the athletes, which you and I have discussed since 2005. And we actually just this month finished 15 years of research and published our final paper consolidating all of the evidence and validating the athlete sleep screening questionnaire, which has now been published in the Sports Medicine Journal Open. And so that's now out in the public domain. And we have an application that we will be launching on the website for athletes to analyze their sleep, determine whether they have a sleep problem, and then give them advice depending on the kind of problem that they have, including, a online visit with myself as well as remote sleep testing. So that's where we've advanced over 15 years. The other domain of my research is with the RCMP. So I'm involved in a large scale project right now to help police officers across the country with sleep issues related to shift work and fatigue in the workplace. So those are my areas of interest in research, and we keep moving those forward. And then the clinical program, and then the new program that we have is a behavioral sleep medicine program. So we have two expert behavioral sleep therapists, because our goal is to try and treat sleep problems without medication. So that's the big agenda item going forward for us clinically.
Oh, well, that is a fantastic summary. And I think it really gives our listeners a great overview of why we love talking to you guys so much. Such important work, though, Dr. Samuels. Hey, if I could ask you, at the onset of your medical studies at university, what drove you to this line of expertise in study?
Well, you know, as a training physician, you get exposed to rather severe degrees of sleep debt. And I had a few incidences in my vehicle that made me quite aware that I was not acknowledging the impact of sleep debt at the time. I was young. I was in my 30s. And one of these incidences ended up with rolling my vehicle. And then another incident was where I actually fell asleep and drove past my house in the country where I was working on a dirt road. And I was actually asleep and woke up at the edge of a lake. So these were quite fascinating experiences to me and made me acutely aware of the importance of getting sleep, the importance of acknowledging that without sleep, our brains don't work properly. And of course, we're trained in medicine to try and just beat this, and you can't beat it. So it was quite a learning experience. That's back to the early 90s. And I got involved in sleep science at that time with a colleague, and then became very interested in doing sleep medicine. So did a fellowship in it.
Well, I've seen your presentation in relationship to Sport Canada and the Olympic programs. Fantastic stuff. I've also, you know, you've been on the show before talking about this area that's so, so important for human performance, but human health as well. Isn't it interesting, Dr. Samuels, maybe the how much we, I guess, underestimate the power of sleep based on everything we know. And I'm talking general population here. We're still way, way behind in terms of how much sleep we're getting collectively. And you know, you mentioned, you know, your incidents falling asleep. I can remember, you know, even just recently being tired behind the wheel, having to pull over. But if that's happened to you, imagine all the other people that have similar experiences. And it could be maybe just as simple, and maybe it's not quite as simple, but just getting enough daily sleep.
Yeah, that is the solution. But I think more importantly, you raise the issue, Jeff, of our lack of awareness. And our lack of awareness is because human beings have a tremendous capacity to mask the effects of sleep debt. And of course, what we consume, caffeine, we do all kinds of things, but we also trick ourselves into believing we're actually functioning at a normal level when we're not. And that's a cognitive tricking process that actually is being researched. You know, why and how do we do that to ourselves? Because clearly, objectively, we aren't performing at the same level. And these, I have colleagues at Washington State University that actually study this in a laboratory setting. But in fact, the simplicity of getting more sleep, when you do that with individuals, and this has been done with sleep extension studies and intercollegiate athletes by a colleague of ours, Sherry Ma, you see immediate results of benefit. I think this is where it's really penetrated the athlete community in basketball, baseball in particular, not so much hockey. Hockey hasn't really come on stream with this in terms of embedding it into the culture of hockey, whereas other sports have. But clearly the athletes will acknowledge that their performance improves, certainly their concentration, which is key.
Yeah, well, we're preaching naps, and we're preaching our sleep cycles and blocking sleep. And, you know, it's interesting. You mentioned baseball and the NFL as well. And certainly the NBA has really, really taken heed to athlete recovery and sleep. We're seeing nap rooms now in the training rooms and in the locker rooms, which is great, because, you know, typically I'm still battling with some of our pro guys about this macho, I don't need sleep kind of attitude.
Yes.
Forget it. More sleep, the better, almost.
Yeah. Yeah, and so the more sophisticated athletes, you know, the Roger Federers of the world, you know, the kids can't really argue. These people will be legends in their sport and acknowledge LeBron James, others, you know, clearly they, and it really, it's not even the sleep, it's the recovery, the role of sleep in the recovery process. And the difference between active and passive recovery, there's a foundation, sleep forms that foundation. And the only reason we emphasize it is because it's the one thing we don't actually pay attention to on a population basis.
Right. We're talking with Dr. Charles Samuels, the medical director at the Center for Sleep and Human Performance in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Dr. Samuels, let's get to this. You know, you talk about functioning and recovery, and you mentioned earlier learning and brain function. And I'm telling you, this is so important for every parent out there. So we're talking about sitting in a classroom. We're talking about playing recreational sports. We're talking about music and learning in general. How does sleep and brain function come together. We know it's there, and it's probably much more important than we realize, I'm sure.
Yeah. And again, we don't realize it because of our capacity to mask. It's important that humans can mask, but there's a threshold where masking no longer works. And so the role of sleep, if we take the normal individual getting the normal amount of sleep with no sleep disorders, et cetera, sleep, what we understand, if we stick someone in the lab and monitor the brain and look at their sleep staging, the continuity of their sleep, so the progression from various stages of sleep and fragmentation of sleep, in other words, the number of times the brain wakes up, all are factors that can disturb the quality of the sleep, and the downstream or resultant effect is that it impairs memory, different kinds of memory in different ways, and concentration and attention. So these are very important things, and then ultimately behavior. So at the far end of the spectrum, agitation, sleepiness, irritability, low mood become the final consequences. Early on, it's subtle changes in attention. So people would notice this, for instance, driving, they would notice that they're not paying attention as they would normally do if they were fully rested.
Isn't it interesting? I catch myself sometimes being a little bit short or on edge when I don't get a good night's sleep. And I'm sort of at that age now where I'm noticing that sleep is harder and harder to come by. It's interesting. I'm really, really intrigued by the sleep questionnaire. I'm all over this right now because I want your help. I just know for a fact that I function personally better when I get a better night's sleep. And I also know when our athletes get into a sleep program, at least some structure, and their awareness is raised in terms of the importance of sleep, they perform better. But we also are seeing a dramatic reduction in injuries.
Yeah. And I haven't even gone there, but that was actually the original reason I was engaged by the sports science people at U of C in 2005, was the whole issue of injury, certainly in the sliding sports and skiing. And I think what we've learned from the 13 to 15 years of research with developing the questionnaire, we've also understood a bit about the epidemiology of sleep disturbance in elite athletes from a variety of sports. And we have a very good understanding of what are the most common things that are experienced by athletes, what is the bulk of the severity that we see. And we have a really good understanding that prevalence rates are of clinically significant sleep disturbance are above 10% in elite athletes. And, you know, that's 10 out of 100 athletes who really need help. The remainder need education. And so the questionnaire actually stratifies those out, the level of help. And so it's a good tool. We're sort of just a few months away from deploying it, and it will be available on the website so that athletes can go in. What we do is arrange with teams. We do a team so that we can actually put the data back to the team and say, your team is, you know, from a sleep perspective, is functioning at this level. Here's the percentage of people who actually need to see a sleep doctor, et cetera. The other thing that's really important, and one of the reasons we did this, is because there's an inappropriate level of prescribing of medication for sleep in athlete populations, and we need to curtail that and give proper advice, which is why we developed this behavioral sleep program, because it's very effective with the youth athletes. The two clinicians we have work with our teen athletes who struggle, because the teen years, of course, are the years where you're going to become an elite athlete. And they're also the years that you require the most sleep.
Right. Absolutely. Well, you mentioned something very interesting there. Well, there's so many ways we can go right now. The teen years, so important. They're growing. They're developing. Brains are developing very, very rapidly there. It's such an important window from physiological development, but also in terms of cognitive development. Yeah. It really sets the stage for your future. That's a irreplaceable window that we really need to pay attention to.
Yeah, and what was happening in those days in mid-2005 is the sport docs were recognizing that young athletes, they were losing really good athletes, because in that window of time, they actually didn't make it to 20 because they just gave up. They would just couldn't recover. They would end up with mono. This is a very common consequence. So in those, that window of 15 to 20 recurrent mono, overtraining, et cetera. And so by focusing on recovery, we've almost eliminated that at the elite athlete at level, not so much at the club level, but it is education. So we developed a program for the long-term athlete development program in with Sport Canada to teach parents about the importance of sleep. And that's available online, actually, through LTAD.
Right, and we've promoted that for sure. It's such a great document. Dr. Charles Samuels from the Center for Sleep and Human Performance joining us today. You also mentioned the sleep aids. Now, this is a very, very important topic that I think we just need to grab everybody's attention right now. Dr. Samuels, this is out of control. The over-the-counter things that we're using, that parents are supplying for their kids, that teenagers are using to get rest before exams, it's out of control, and it's not what people think, is it? You and I have had a couple great and very important discussions on this before, but let's revisit this because you mentioned it. You have to be careful with over-the-counter and even prescription sleep aids. They have to be used properly.
Yep, absolutely. And to me, and what I do in educating the sport medicine physicians is at the point where you decide in a teenager to use medication, they need to be seen by a sleep doctor. And that's an indication that there's a problem that really needs proper evaluation. Because we certainly train the sport docs to a certain level, but they have many other responsibilities and they can't, you know, be experts in the sleep arena. And so when they start thinking, gee, I need to write a script, we say, send them. And when we're dealing with athletes traveling around the world, we'll do Skype conferencing and whatnot with the athlete to try and figure out what the problem is and then provide solutions as they're traveling. And it's not uncommon. And the other thing that you point out is the use of over-the-counter medication. Again, to me, that's a trigger. If people are using medication of any kind for sleep, they should be seeing someone to get proper advice, because that's a sleep problem that exceeds normal.
Right. And I agree. That's such a great advice right there. I have another question for you. So maybe this is a chicken before the egg kind of a question. I'm not sure, but I really wanted to get this to you. So when we talk about depression, for example, we have athletes and we're working with some athletes right now that sleep a lot, Dr. Samuels, and almost too much. It's concerning at times, and whether they need it or whether it's due to something else, lack of sleep can cause depression, or is depression causing lack of sleep or too much sleep? This is an interesting question, I think.
So there's a strong relationship between mental illness, in particular anxiety disorder, depression, PTSD, and sleep, and it's bidirectional. So if you have an individual who is not predisposed to mental illness but is chronically sleep deprived, they're at much higher risk for developing mental illness over time. This is well established, well studied. Mm-hmm. The reverse is true. Those people that actually do have predisposition to mood disorder and anxiety, the management of those disorders is made more difficult with poor sleep. So focusing on the sleep for either good control of the mental illness or prevention of future episodes is very critical. And again, the other thing to add to this, sadly, is post-concussive syndrome.
Right.
So in sport-related concussion, sleep is critical. And so we do work with the group, again, at the university and see the athletes early in the stages of their post-head injury recovery to try and see, okay, is there a sleep disturbance? Does it fit the normal pattern that we expect? Is it abnormal? And if so, you know, you want to get it under control because it improves recovery and minimizes post-concussive symptoms.
Oh, fantastic stuff. We're talking with Dr. Charles Samuels, Medical Director at the Center for Sleep and Human Performance. One last thing I need to get Before we get to it, before we let you go, Dr. Samuels, is the discussion of electronics right now. There's a lot of concern, even regardless of sleep, but a lot of concern about the attachment now to electronic devices. We know for a fact it's playing a role as kids are texting and playing games well into the wee hours of the night. But this is a major, major concern now.
Yeah. And so I have a real hard line on this. You know, in my mind, if we're seeing anyone, but in particular an athlete who is complaining of sleep disturbance that's affecting their performance in their sport, because that's important to them, we have to address the issue of technology. Most of them are using technology late in the day and don't understand. And I make the point to the parents that, you know, children now, parents of children who are 5 years old, these children won't actually know how to use a pencil. That's not a good thing.
Right.
And so it's so embedded in the psychology and culture that we're not balancing that out with the understanding of the negative impact of technology. So what we do, and again, it's something that's so hard for the kids to give up now, our clinical sleep educators really focus on all ways of mitigating the effect of light, because they won't give up their technology. And we use light blocking glasses and screen blockers, et cetera. But the fact is, the other element of interacting with the device is very important, because that's highly stimulating. And so in a kid that can't sleep, this is just not a good thing. So we talk a lot about, you know, really controlling screen time.
That is a battle, maybe yes. easier said than done in every household that's listening. I mean, we know that every parent, coach, and even athletes are struggling with this issue. Yeah. So I guess it's just a matter of maybe even just scheduling, coming up with a plan to shut those things down at a certain time and just don't go back. Maybe it's habit forming, Dr. Samuels.
Yeah, I think that's the key, is making one thing that I find, you have to engage the athlete. They have to be motivated to want to get better. And the ones that aren't struggling, I have less of a problem with. In other words, if there's an athlete who sleeps well, feels good, they can, you know, do it. I always say to people, look, if you're fine and you don't have a sleep problem, don't listen to anything I say, because it's not important. If you have a sleep problem, the number one first thing you have to address is exposure to technology. Absolutely, without question, have to look at that. And I've actually dealt with the principals at the sports schools here in Calgary. They reinforced to me that no child at a sports school for elite athletes has to be on a computer at nighttime. The excuse that they need to do it for, you know, homework and all of this business is not true. Oh. But this is the excuse that we get. Oh, I have to do my homework. I have to do this, that, and the other thing. And all of these things, I've even dealt with medical students. And in the end, and of course, they no longer have textbooks. Everything is online.
Right.
In the end, I have been told flat out by medical students that they can purchase all of their textbooks in paper for like 1/10 the cost of a textbook when I went through medical school in the 80s. And, you know, the fact is, if they're struggling, they should be off screens. And if they can use paper, it's better.
Ah, pen to paper, the old good old days, Dr. Samuels.
Absolutely.
Pen to paper. Great stuff. Well, such great work you're doing there. One more thing. I just want to just stress the importance for your work with the police force and emergency responders, our firemen out there. Such an important conversation for these people. It's one thing to talk about athletes and sport, but this is real life stuff, and it can really, really help a lot of those people. If they're having problems, seek help, because it's a game changer, and lives are on the line here at times. So an important conversation for our first responders and emergency responders.
You bet. It's huge. And simple things can make a major difference in their ability to tolerate shift work through a 20 to 30 year career. And so it's really important. But I must admit, law enforcement in Canada is highly invested in this help. In fact, I'm giving a talk at the International Association of Chiefs of Police, which is the largest law enforcement meeting in the world, in October on this project with the RCMP, because we're well respected in Canada for the work that we do with the officers. Yep.
Oh, so great, Dr. Samuels. Well, thanks for all your work and your time today. And we'll look forward to following up and staying in touch.
You betcha. Thanks, Jeff.
Well, some very, very sound advice there, ladies and gentlemen, from one of the world's top experts. Such great stuff in there. If you want to go back to get that podcast, share it with your friends, your family, your kids, your coworkers, your teammates, go to crushperformance.com. You can find the links to the podcast there, and you can listen to that again. So much good information. Hey, when we come back, we're going to continue it. It's one thing to talk about the science and understand it, which is incredibly important, but how do you put it into practice? What can you do to set yourself up for a great sleep? And if you wind up waking up, as I mentioned to Dr. Samuels, I have a problem with, what are some of the things you can do to get back to sleep? Well, right after this break, we're going to talk with Crush favorite Dana Santos from Mobility Maker. We're going to talk to her about strategies and routines to help you get to sleep, to help you get back to sleep, and things you can do on a daily basis to make sure you get the best quality sleep as often as possible. That's coming up right after this on Crush Performance. I've done a couple presentations recently, one of the latest to an urban sport council. It was a 90-minute presentation that turned into an incredible 3-hour performance extravaganza. So much fun. And then I was asked to speak to the staff and employees of a construction company. What does a sport performance guy have to say to a construction company, you ask? Well, plenty. See, the strategies we use for improving performance in sport are virtually the same as the ones we use anywhere you're trying to perform or work towards a goal or outcome. If you want you or your organization to be successful, you need to make sure you have the best performance environment possible. And there are performance factors you can influence to improve productivity, on-the-job performance, and maybe most important of all, reduce the risk of injury. This is what I love to talk about. Everything you need to know so you, your team, franchise, business, or organization can operate at the highest level possible. I've been lucky to speak in many parts of the world, to sporting organizations, bankers, oil companies, sales teams, municipalities, schools, and now a construction company, all in the name of helping people to understand what it takes to perform at their very best. Right now, we're currently booking Crush Performance summer and fall presentations. If you'd like us to come out and present to your group, please write to us at info@crushperformance.com. Now, back to the show.
If you have any performance questions, comments, or smart remarks, text Crusher at 101260 and follow him on Twitter at Jeff Crush. Now, here he is, the Crusher.
And welcome back to Crush Performance, everyone. Hey, listen, if you want to stay connected to the world of performance, why don't you hook up with us? You can go to our website, crushperformance.com. You can find our blogs there. There's links to great articles and resources. You can sign up for our newsletter, subscribe to our podcast. There's free downloads. And on social media, follow along. On Twitter, it's at Jeff Crush. You can also search out Crush Performs. And for Facebook, Instagram, and our YouTube channel, which has been a ton of fun, check out Crush Performance. And speaking of performance, there is nothing more important on a daily basis in that 24-hour window in which we all operate. There's nothing, and I mean nothing more important in any of our programs anyway, than sleep. Sleep is the driver for performance, for recovery, for recuperation, and it's our number one priority. We just had a great, great conversation with Dr. Charles Samuels, the medical director for the Center for Sleep and Human Performance, about the science and some of the strategies and the things that they're doing there to help people get better sleep. And one of the things that really intrigues me is the questionnaire they've come up with. We're going to follow up with that. We'll let you know. We'll get the links on our website to that because I think it's going to be very, very important for all of us just to raise awareness and have a better understanding of where we're at in terms of our personal sleep habits. And these are the things that can help raise awareness, our personal awareness, maybe some of the issues that we are having, and also things that we can do to help correct it. The first step to solving any problem, as we always say, is to accurately define the problem. And if we're not sure why we're not getting a good sleep, well, some of these strategies can certainly help. Another very, very important point coming out of that conversation, and something that I just have to mention again, is the use of over-the-counter or prescription sleep aids. Listen, anytime you get to the point where you feel you need something to help you sleep, you're dysfunctional. And that's where you need to see a sleep expert. And the general practitioners, listen, our family doctors, bless them for everything they do. Just like we have shoulder specialists, knee specialists, we have internists, we have, you know, medical doctors who specialize in different areas. We have medical professionals who specialize in sleep. If you're having trouble with sleep, See your doctor, get a referral to a sleep expert. It could change. No, let's just face it. It will change your life. Getting good sleep is that powerful for sure. But figuring out how to do it naturally, well, that's a whole different game. And if you're not there yet, there's people out there that can help you. So please, please, please pursue it for sure. The other conversation I think was really important is the one that revolves around electronics and the use of electronics close to bedtime. It's not good. It doesn't work. It can't work. And whether you think it affects you or not, it does. And that's why Dr. Samuels has such a hard line when it comes to the use of electronics leading up to and when you're laying yourself down to sleep. It cannot happen. So there's another habit that we can get into or form to help us sleep better. Turn them off. Turn them off well before bedtime and keep them out of the bedroom. Such a simple thing that you can do to make such a big, big difference. An important conversation right there. If you want to go back and listen to our conversation with Dr. Samuels, go to the website again, Crush Performance, follow the links to the podcast. It'll be posted there right away, and it's worth it. This is very, very important stuff. And it's one thing to talk and understand the science. It's so critical to have these types of conversations, but what can you do in practice? What are some of the daily things that you can do to help you get better sleep? Well, we're joined right now by Crush favorite Dana Santos from Mobility Maker. Dana, thanks for joining the show today.
Oh, well, I'm happy to be asked back.
Well, listen, we are talking sleep and performance and recovery. And one of the first things that came to mind is some of the things that you and I have talked about in the past and the importance of just getting into a routine and strategies. You know, it's one thing to talk about the science of sleep and understanding what it's all about, but it's another thing to have practical things people can do to help them sleep better. And that's, trust me, priority number one. So, you know, in your experiences with your athletes and your clientele, I know you have a big belief in some of the benefits of yoga and breathing practices for sleep. But maybe as a rough introduction here, what do you think the implications are in terms of, you know, putting together a regular daily routine and then strategies for helping people get back to sleep when they're having difficulties?
Well, I think that a regular routine is paramount. And it has to be, and you know, working with professional athletes, it has to be simple to get compliance, because you could have a really great routine that takes a lot of time to do, or it's complex, or that, you know, if you don't have compliance, then, you know, people aren't going to get the benefits of it. So over the years, this has been an issue that comes up a lot. I do a lot with recovery. This year, I'm actually doing a lot of speaking and presenting on recovery techniques. And over the years, I've distilled it down to just a few minutes of the best things that we can do before bed as part of that routine. And, you know, there are things you can do to make it more specific to issues you might have, like maybe you deal with leg cramps and that's part of it, because everybody has different things that can disrupt their sleep. But there are some commonalities, like back pain and, you know, the aches and pains that not only interrupt our sleep, but can then also be an issue when we wake up, you know, and so we blame it on our mattress. But what if there were just a few things that you could do that are proactive before you get into bed to release your low back if low back is an issue, or, you know, all those compressed side waist muscles from all the sitting that we do, whether you're an athlete or not. We all do a whole lot of sitting, especially for athletes who are traveling then to a hotel. They've been sitting, and so lengthening out those muscles, just a few exercises, you know, a nice twist to release anything, especially if it's done in the right way, to kind of reset your pelvis, your spine, your rib cage. And then you mentioned breathing, obviously, breathing so that we can tap our parasympathetic nervous system, because you need to be able to tap your parasympathetic nervous system to get into that rest and restore state in order to sleep. And a lot of athletes I deal with have trouble. They're chronically stuck in their sympathetic, that fight or flight kind of state, which may help them on the field, but certainly doesn't help them rest and recover. So yeah, this combination of a few key stretches and movements to release those muscles, and then leveraging proper breathing exercises to be able to get into a parasympathetic state, and boom, those are really the keys.
Yeah, and I agree. And it's not that difficult to do. People hear about all this stuff and they think, oh boy, you know, that's too much for me. But you've narrowed it down. You've got a great 6-minute little program there. I like the idea of having the routine, Dana, you know, on a daily basis. You know, it's much like guys, our professional athletes, for example, or somebody heading into the office, whether it's their daily drive or their morning coffee stop or their routines. Routines are so important. One thing we know about a regular warm-up in terms of timing prior to practice or competition, the exercises can vary from day to day, but even just the state of mind you get from that routine is very, very powerful. And I think the same can be said for sleep and sleep practices.
Oh, certainly. There are mental triggers that go along with having a routine. So just like coffee, right? So many of us drink coffee first thing in the morning and we're thrown off if we can't get our coffee. You know, you're in your hotel room and maybe your coffee is delayed and it kind of throws you off because that's been your routine. You know, you get up, you do certain things. Same thing, we can condition ourselves for a bedtime routine that starts to tell us, this is what we do. This is how I'm powering down. I'm starting to shut down. And it really enables a better night's sleep. And in that same way that, you know, the warm-up enables you to have a better mindset for going into whether it's your training or your game. It's the same kind of thing. I mean, we're humans. We're programmed to be conditioned that way. So yes, absolutely. Making a bedtime routine and not having, you know, part of that routine, and I'm sure the sleep experts you've spoken with have talked about, like getting your phone even out of your bedroom, not having your phone be part of that routine, having your last text, your last email, your last look at Instagram or whatever it is, be, you know, at least half an hour before you start into your routine to go to bed.
Yeah.
So important.
Oh, the electronics, a very, very hot topic in our world. You said it, Dana Santez. Hey, we're talking with Dana Santez from Mobility Maker. Lots of great information there. You can check it out. Dana, you know, when we talk about the pre-bedtime routines, the daily routines, so, so important. But there's also another monster out there, and that's waking up in the middle of the night. And for me personally, I have this experience as well, and I've talked to a lot of people about this. You know, I can tell when I'm not going back to sleep. I wake up and my mind starts going places that I don't want it to go, and I can't shut it off. And I think a lot of people suffer from similar issues as well. Getting back to sleep, I think, is as powerful as getting ready for sleep. So do you have any thoughts in like the middle of the night sort of sleep issues that people are having?
Yes, I do. And it's not counting sheep, although it's similar.
Hey, I've tried counting sheep. It's worked once or twice for me, but it's not a go-to. That's for damn sure.
No. So we want a little science behind it. And counting sheep doesn't have science behind it. But I've got a couple simple techniques that are actually science-based because we want to get back to that deeper diaphragmatic breathing that's going to put us back in that parasympathetic state, which will then enable us to get into the rest and recover and go to sleep. Because you're not, you probably don't realize it. As your mind is racing, your breathing is probably becoming more shallow. And so you're switching your autonomic nervous system from that rest and recover state. So we want to get the breathing to help us get into the rest and recover state. So we start to go into a deeper breath, and then the mind, because it's racing, we want to focus it now on the breaths. So we count them, but we want to count them backwards because that's just a very simple meditative technique because we generally don't count backwards. So it takes a little more effort of the mind to count backwards, especially when you start with a higher number. So I tend to tell people start with 20. And then the rule is if you lose track of the count of your breaths, you have to start over again. Sometimes to go back to sleep in the middle of the night, it'll take me 3 or 4 tries, but this is what I stay focused on. And then instead of counting sheep, when you inhale, you see the number in your head. And sometimes it's a battle for me to visualize the number because, you know, if you're worried about what's going to happen the next day or, you know, something that happened earlier the day before, whatever it is, it's hard to focus your brain, but focus it on inhale. I see the number 20, exhale, the number 20 falls away, fades away, whatever. It's gone. Inhale, it's 19. exhale. And so you keep going. And then if those thoughts start to come back into your head and then you realize, wait a minute, I'm not counting anymore. Shoot, I have to start over. But it works. It absolutely works. I'll have guys come in and be like, the last number I remembered was 17. And I'm like, really? Three breaths and you were asleep? That's awesome, you know? But it works.
I'm getting sleepy right now. I'm doing it and I'm getting sleepy. So it does work. Hold on, everybody. I got to get back on track here. It's a powerful tool, isn't it? And again, that's the power of the mind and controlling the mind, getting into these two routines. Dana, listen, this is such great stuff. If people want to get more information on your great work and some of the information on sleep, where can they go to get more information from you?
Mobilitymaker.com is my website.
Great stuff, Dana. Hey, listen, we thank you today for this. See, the tangible side of things is so important. It's something I think we neglect to talk about, you know, when we get deep into the science. But these tangible, usable sort of routines are so powerful. And as you mentioned, your athletes and your clientele have been using them for years. So thanks so much for this.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
And there you have it, Dana Santez from Mobility Maker. Check out her website, mobilitymaker.com. A lot of great information and resources there for sure. Thanks, Dana, for that. Just some really good practical things that you could do right now to help yourself sleep better. You know, she wrote an article back in 2017, I believe, June 2017. It was titled, Sleep Better with 6 Minutes of Bedtime Yoga. Now, even if you're not a yoga guy or a girl, if you're not a yoga person, these bedtime rituals can be really, really effective for helping you get to sleep and getting into that deep sleep better. It can get your mind away from what happened during the day and get you ready and on task for getting a good solid sleep. 6 solid minutes of just good exercises. She mentioned some of them there. And that breathing can be all powerful. I've done it. Like the problem with me is I wake up at night. I have no problem falling asleep. I have no problem at all. But I wake up in the middle of the night and I know when I'm going to be able to go back to sleep and when I'm not. Maybe it has a lot to do with what's going on in the world around us right now, you know, with our business, with our family, whatever it might be. My parents aren't healthy. You know, we got a lot going on. And if my mind gets going in that direction, I know I'm doomed. What I've done that's been pretty effective for me is I just change. I go out to the couch or something. I might, you know, get something to drink and then sit down for a bit, get my mind somewhere else, and then go back to sleep. And it seems pretty effective. But I've been doing this reverse counting breathing drill. And boy, I'm telling you what, when you get into it and you really learn how to do it, it's really, really effective for getting back to sleep. I think what it does, it just gets your mind on something that's pretty mundane, regulated, you know, the counting and the breathing, and something that's not going to take you into the EOS, something that's going to get your mind wandering or racing in directions you don't want it to go. It really, really does work. I have to thank Dan again for that. We also have to thank Dr. Charles Samuels for joining us earlier in the show. You guys, this has just been a really powerful show. And again, I can't stress enough how important sleep is. And I guess maybe a couple things to take away from today's show that are really, really important. Yes, certainly the electronic conversation with Dr. Samuels. That's something to share with your teachers, your employees, your students, your teammates. But the issues we're having with prescription and over-the-counter sleep aids, it's really out of control. And I just don't think it's a great way to go. The sleep doctors can really help you out there. So if you're having problems sleeping, like real serious problems continually over time, go get some help. There's great people out there that can help you out. And if you need us to help you out, write to us. We may know somebody in your area or your region that can help you out, or we can maybe connect you with a network of people who can get somebody who's close to you. Let us know for sure. Sleep, priority number one. And then the practical stuff that Dana shared. Really, really good stuff that I hope we can start working into our daily lives. I know I've been doing some of it. I got to get better at it, and I got to set some time aside, but that's one of the priorities. I mean, you got to prioritize what's going to be important for you, and I got to get better at it as well. So again, thanks to Dr. Samuels and Dana for joining us today, and I want to thank you for joining us as well. Again, share the show. It's out there. Get the podcast. Sign up for our newsletter at Crush Performance. We're just here to help you guys out. So get out there, everybody. Have a great week. Go get some really good sleep. Go get better. And we'll talk to you next time on Crush Performance.
Goodbye now. Don't forget to write.
This is the Landry Football with Chris Landry. Quick Fix. on Radio Influence.
It's typical Patriots. It's a lot of little pieces, and you can look at other players and other teams in different positions and say, you know what, they match up well with the Patriots. But here's what, the Patriots are so well coached on the offensive line. They've got maybe the greatest quarterback ever. They've got the greatest head coach ever, and they play good situational defense. They'll win the division. They'll be a threat again. The only thing that is interesting is going to be with Tom Brady. We can talk about the fact that he looks ageless, and he does. But, folks, at some point, it's going to show. I don't know if it's going to be this year, but it's going to show. It just will eventually show, and you usually see a dramatic drop-off. This guy's really good. He's 38, he's 39, he's playing well, and boom, all of a sudden he doesn't have it. So you wonder when the bottom is going to drop out. I'm not guessing that it's going to happen this year, but when it does, we're going to see a different team, no question about it.
Chris Landry brings you Landry Football every week on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and, of course, RadioInfluence.com.